Hey everybody, welcome to Riders Meeting. It is a recap of the San Francisco Supercross and what a mucky, muddy mess it was. I want to thank our sponsors before we get started. Rock and Turf, amazing company, artificial grass that makes some really cool mats that you can change on or put in your RV or trailer. Maxxis Tires, check out their full line of light duty truck tires. Great stuff. Stoked to have them on board. Bruce Murata joining me today. Bruce, former pro racer yourself. You've done plenty of mud racing.
Yep.
In fact, you lost a little skin this weekend at the NGPC.
Unfortunately, Ping.
Had a little get together, but yeah. You're all good. All good. Yes. I suppose you'd rather be sliding on hard pack than riding in what these guys did.
Yeah, man. I never want to wish a mud race on anyone, as I'm sure you can.
I hate them. Really,
yeah.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
It always seems crazy to me that Seattle and the Bay Area, it rains a lot in these two places. And the people deciding to build these arenas, these stadiums, don't put a roof on them. Yeah. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And it seems half of the times we go there, it's muddy or mucky or ruddy. And in fact, speaking of the Bay Area, I wanted to bring in a little history for you guys.
Wow, look at that thing.
This was the glorious trophies for winning a Supercross back in the 90s. A really corny little Arai helmet with a checkered flag and some plexiglass. This is San Jose, 1995, my first Supercross win. And this was where the racing used to be up there before it went to Frisco and then back to Oakland and now back to San Fran. So anyway, I won't leave this here the whole time, but thought it was a funny little piece of history. And I didn't even think about it in our site lap from last week, but I thought I better pull that out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the big stories up here this weekend, obviously rain and mud and muck and conditions, but really the point separation. And this is what I personally, some guys love mud. I know RJ, some of my co-hosts that have come on in the past say, oh no, I love a good mud race. It's not racing to me. You're just watching the best in the world try to survive and circulate the track without blowing their bike up.
Well, and that's the thing about mud racing is you could take a rider like, no disrespect, he's a great rider, but like a Barcia. He's just on the gas the whole time. He's clutching that bike. He's just like, he's doing whatever. I mean, especially in that LCQ he was in, he was just like riding that bike so hard. Then you get a guy like Shimoda that's super calm on the bike. He's really light on the clutch. And you know, he's just like, he's not riding as hard as like a Barcia. And the bike breaks the first lap.
Yeah.
So it comes down to a lot of luck, I feel, in some of these mud races.
Yeah, and in the 250 class in particular, we had a lot of failures that are going to cost a lot of points and effectively take these guys out of the championship. And we'll get to more of that, but I just thought, you know, I hate that about mud racing. Like, you're starting to already thin the field out as far as who can win this title because of conditions, you know, nothing they did. And I've had a couple of buddies go, why are the bikes blowing up? Like on the second lap, you know, Volan's bike. And they just get hot. That's the bottom line. You can't move air through because they're not going fast.
Right.
Then you get mud stuck in there. Then mud encapsulates the engine. So there's no even, you know, bypass air going by the engine. It's just a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, and the weight that's added to the motorcycles too.
Yeah, and the abuse on the clutch. It's just, it happens.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go through what went on here. Starting with the 250 class, Joe Shimoda gets the win in the opening round or opening heat. Looked good.
Smith, Jordan did look really good in the heat. Yeah, he did make a pass on Shimoda, and then he went down in the whoops. So then Shimoda was able to capitalize on that and take the win in that one. Shimoda looked really good in that heat, so kind of bums me out that
he didn't have a great Anaheim coming back from. I mean, rode great, but just the finish wasn't there, so I think he really wanted to get back in the mix, and man, it couldn't have gone any worse for him.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Ryder D wins the second heat, and this was a surprise to me. I'm thinking a kid from Bakersfield, like, they don't ride the mud, you know?
Yeah, that's to me, that was like the highlight for me in the whole 250 class is seeing Ryder D. I mean, he like was flawless that whole race. But man, I got to point something out in that heat too. RJ's case over that finish line.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how he pulled that off, but I mean, he just completely
framed it
hard and pulls it off, rolls out of it. I mean, that right there, I mean, and that's obviously due to the mud, you know, that's one thing about these mud races. I mean, it's just so risky for these guys, you know?
Let me ask you this, because the track crew did take the dozer and kind of mow down some of the jumps, but I thought, man, why not really round everything off? Like, what's the point? They can't even really get off the ground. So why not just, you know, make them kind of the whole thing rollers? Would that have been better?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just no fixing it, I think.
There really isn't.
So let's get into that main event. And really, if you watch both main events, the guy that got the whole shot won. And that's no big shocking thing. That's how mud races like this typically work. It's so hard to pass somebody. So even if you're quicker and you catch them, there's one line that everyone's been cow trailing in that's a little bit more hard packed and dry and rideable. And you get out of that and good luck. You're taking your life into your own hands.
Yeah.
I mean, you see guys get out of the line and they can barely stay on two wheels.
And that's something that I've experienced in the past racing mud races is you start taking your same line and it's almost like you're like on this just train track, you know, your tunnel vision, you're just taking that same line, but all of a sudden you're just in this good rhythm and that line's taken away because you had two guys cut through that lane and it just throws everything off, you know? And I watched that a couple times on some of these guys where it's like they're doing that same line every time and then that next lap they're just like off the track, you know? Just it makes it challenging when it's these conditions.
Well, Jordan Smith took off and was really on cruise control, and it wasn't until very late in the race when Levi Kitchen, who said he was looking up at the monitor and saw that Jordan was right there in front of him and realized he was in second, went, oh, I can make a run at this guy. Yeah. And he did push to the end. I was like, oh boy, we might have a race here. Smith picked it up enough to kind of manage it and get the win. And then Garrett Marchbanks putting on a great ride for third. I was stoked for the Muckoff FXR Yamaha guys.
They did really good. That's a good one for Marchbanks. So
yeah, Club MX third and fourth too, with Nicoletti in fourth.
Yeah, Nicoletti. I thought Nicoletti was going to hold him off though. I mean, they put on a good race.
And
I think Phil was a little bummed on that one because that would have been, I believe, that would have been his career best finish in the 250.
I'm not really sure, but he even said in the post-race thing, like, this was probably maybe my last chance to ever get a photo.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Like, my last chance being, So,
but anyway, still a great ride. Yeah. Mumford, fifth. He put on a good ride.
Yeah.
Who in the hell is Anthony Bourdon? Bourdon?
Mm. Yes.
I don't know how to say
it. I'm a Suzuki.
French dude.
Yep. Bar-X.
Is that what he's up? Bar-X? Yep. He's running number 100. I even asked him, who is this guy? I haven't heard a thing about him.
Yeah.
Maybe next week we'll track this guy down in the pits and find out who the hell he is. I don't know if he speaks English. I don't speak French, so I don't know what we'll do there.
Yeah, he's out there in the mud, he looked really good.
Well, French guys can ride. Yep. Although he did take RJ out, not on purpose, but he got squirrely over the finish. Yeah, RJ hit him and did a 180.
Yeah, let me tell you, and it's unfortunate that, you know, RJ's got to lose a red plate to a race like this, you know?
Yeah.
He had some unfortunate get-offs there. But the good thing with him is that he's walking away safe.
Yeah.
So,
you know what was wild? Anytime you saw somebody go down, how hard it was for them to pick the bike up. And I think somebody on the broadcast maybe mentioned it, or someone on the podium. Once your hands go into the muck, I mean, it's like having your KY jelly on your hands. Yeah. I know a lot of you know what that's like. You can't, it is so slimy. And then your feet won't plant in the ground. They're sliding. And you're trying to pick up a bike that now weighs probably 280 pounds.
Yeah.
Good luck. And you can see I'm struggling. You're just going, pick it up, freaking pick it up. Yeah. But it's way, way harder than it looks.
And that was one thing that I was going to mention is the second that your grip touches the mud or your gloves, you're done.
Game over.
Yeah.
This Anthony Bourdon, sorry if I'm slaughtering your name, buddy. I don't know what it is. We're going to come find you this next weekend here in San Diego and figure it out. Seventh, Joshua Varillas. Great ride for him. And at Anaheim, he broke a bike in half.
Yes.
It was the wildest thing.
Yeah, he pulled a ping there.
He did pull a ping. And then he was back in the main or back in the night show. So good to see him put in a solid ride. He's kind of been knocking at the door, trying to do well here the past couple of seasons. Hunter Yoder with eighth, great ride for him.
Yeah, awesome by Hunter.
RJ in ninth, which is a disappointment for him, but it was decent damage control. That's not an end of the world situation. He's still in the title hunt. And then Mitchell Oldenburg sitting in 10th. And so if you're looking at the points, you got Jordan Smith now out front. Kitchen is 5 back. So right, real close, right in the mix. RJ's 9 back. But here was the problem. We had at least six really good guys who were all race-winning riders. They could win any given weekend. Joe Shimoda, he's out of the top 10 in points now. He's more than 25 points down. A whole race. Like, he's done. Title hopes are done. Yeah. Nate Thrasher, out of the top 10, more than 25 points down. And Max Voland, outside the top 10, more than 25 points down. I mean, it's that crazy. Sucks. I mean, that's the thing about mud races that bum me out, because we could have seen those guys week to week kind of mix it up and switch it up and be a really tight points battle all the way to the finish. And now it's really come down to 3 guys, unfortunately, for the title. But
now
these guys won't have anything to lose. Maybe they'll wing it a little harder.
For sure. And, I mean, Ping, we're still only 2 races in. So anything can happen. I was looking forward to see what Volan can do.
Yeah, he was riding really well, even in that race.
Yeah.
Up near the front, and bike goes early. We have a photo of his mechanic. His mechanic's pit board snapped in half, laying in the mud.
But I mean, I don't blame him.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So massive point swing. We'll see what happens moving forward here. Here's the bad news, and we'll get into more of this when we drop our sight lap show on Thursday. There's rain in the forecast for next weekend. So, that is what it is. Let's move on here. 450, first heat of the night. What did we say last week? You picked Jorge Prado for the win. Yes. I said, watch this guy. If it gets mucky and muddy, he's going to be good. And the son of a biscuit goes out and wins the first heat. And I was like, I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, me too.
And this was exactly the conditions I thought he would shine in, where you're not really jumping anything. You're just riding the mud and trying to survive. I don't know this for a fact, but I would lay money down right now. That sealed the deal. He's coming back here in 25 full time.
I agree with you on that one. I think from that win, I mean, the way they even they celebrated that as if it was a championship, and I think that sealed the deal right there. And I think when he comes back for 2025, which I'm calling that out right now, he's gonna be here. I'm gonna make bets on that. He's gonna be here, and when he comes back, he's gonna be ready.
Well, listen, you give him 4 months of riding whoops and going to different tracks and studying it and really, really focusing on it. He's already running top 10, no problem.
Yeah,
he's already won a heat. this guy's gonna be maybe not a title contender in 25, but I think he'll be on the box and he'll be poking around, sniffing around for wins and outdoors. Hang on to your hats.
And I know Chase was getting close at the end of that heat race. He was starting to really reel him in. But hey, a win's a win.
Totally. So. No, great job for him. Dylan Ferrandis got the second heat win. Mm-hmm. Looked great. Stoked for the Phoenix Honda Factory Connection guys. They seem to have a really good program going over there. I see Dylan smiling more than ever.
Oh, I just think that whole program they have over there is just working out really good for him. I think it's taken off a lot of pressure too, and he's kind of gets to make his own calls. Especially working with a guy like Ziggy has been great for him. But in that heat too, AP was looking really good in that one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I picked him to be up near the front going into that main event, and really it just came down to the start. And let's talk about that Rock and Turf 450 main. Chase Sexton. Holy cow. And he admitted after the race in the press conference, he goes, it actually was just kind of dumb luck. I thought I saw it flinch and I just went.
Yeah.
And if you watch a slow-mo of this start, if you haven't seen it, try to go find the race and rewind it and watch it in slow-mo. The gate, it hasn't moved and he's going.
Going, yeah.
And it just falls. I mean, this was the biggest hole shot I've seen in a long time.
Well, I replayed that because I'm like, as soon as I saw the start, I'm like, wait a second. How does he have that big of a jump? And so I literally like paused, rewinded it, and I'm like, dude, he's like going before the gate drops. And then hearing in the post race conference, that's where he said it was kind of on accident.
Yeah.
But coming into that first corner, he almost threw the whole race away.
Oh, yeah. He almost tucked the front end. We almost got another letter on the Moto Memes bingo card.
Yeah.
But it was due to the mud.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? Well, anyway, moving on. It was a gnarly start. I want to say, though, and in case you're wondering about the set here, we are in our Arena Cross set studio here doing this broadcast today. We're in the middle of moving into our new studio, so it's a little bit of a scramble here. But give us a couple weeks. You're going to like what you see. But a lot of the Arena Cross guys will line up on the far outside because it's an air-actuated device that drops the gate.
Okay.
And you can hear it go, you can hear it release. Mm. And so the guys will hear it and just go.
Interesting.
And so I wonder, he was close to the doghouse, and I wonder if he heard the air actuator drop, you know what I mean,
that's
release.
That's kind of what clicked it, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't, when I watched it, I don't see the gate flinch. I just see him
go. I don't either, yeah.
And so yeah. Maybe it was that noise. I don't know. Anyway, very interesting.
Yeah.
Eli Tomac, the return of Eli Tomac. I want to talk about this. So Sexton, great race. He looked, like he said in the presser, he goes, you know, I feel like I'm finally just staying calm. I don't really panic. I've kind of gotten to a place mentally where I'm just calm and I can just focus on what I'm doing. And it showed, at least this weekend, man, he was just, looked like he was on a trail ride, but in control. And he looked like a guy who deserved a win.
Yeah, he rode good.
Eli rode great as well. He did start closing in at the end. I thought we'd maybe get a race, and then
I know
a couple issues just slowed him down. But we're all wondering, what happened to Eli last weekend? I spoke with someone close to the Tomac team. I'll just say that, somebody who knows. And they said that he made a suspension change just right before A1, thought they had something better on the fork in particular, and it didn't work. It was too harsh. His hands were going numb. He just, like I said, his hands were just shot. And he was so mad after the race. He goes, I won the race last year. Why didn't I just go to that setup?
Right.
I know I had a setup that worked. Why didn't I go to it? This setting that they tried worked great in Florida. But you know, when you have that soft dirt that gives a little bit, it wants to draw the suspension down, so you need it a little firmer.
Yeah.
Anaheim's the opposite. It's like riding on cement, essentially.
It's a lot harder here.
So, mistaken setting, they're going to correct that. I'm anxious to see what he does on a dry track, because I think the old ET is back. A1 was not a good indicator of what he's going to do.
Yeah, I also heard too during the week he was really fired up. It actually motivated him a lot to want to, you know, really turn things around. So
yeah,
I think you're going to see Eli more on the box moving forward.
Oh, I agree.
So
I agree. Ken Roczen, we figured he'd be really good in the mud. He rode well, came up through from a decent start.
Yeah, from what I remember, he just rode his own race. Like he was just kind of.
Yeah, it was kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But a good ride to third.
Yeah.
Shane McElrath, fourth. Great ride for Shane.
Yeah.
He has not had a really good finish in the 450 class like this. And I know it was a mutter, but I'm happy for him. Shane's a great guy. Just nicest dude on the planet, you know. Yeah. So everybody was happy for him.
Good for Suzuki.
Who had two Suzukis in the top four? not many people.
Yeah.
But good for them. Good for them. Dylan Ferrandis, sixth. Again, kind of a quiet ride, but solid, and that puts him in a really good position for points.
Yeah.
He's had two pretty solid finishes. Jorge Prado, seventh. Listen, Denny Stephenson, I love you. You're my brother. But you went hard saying Prado would never sniff the top 10 in these first three rounds. And I'm wondering how that shoe tastes up in your mouth, because he's ninth in points. He was seventh in this mud race. And I would bet you he's top 10 again this weekend. So,
especially if it's a mud race again.
I think either way, really the whoops are what kills him. That's it. That's the only thing he doesn't have figured out yet. And that'll come. Adam Cincirillo, good ride for eighth, for him in eighth. And Jet, you know, it's funny. Watching him ride, I kind of felt like he had the best technique. He was just standing through a lot of it where everyone else was paddling. He looked really comfortable and in control, but he did have that one tip over, came into that rut, and I think it just pushed in. Like the rut was mucky. It wasn't solid like he thought. And just pushed the front end and fell. And that, as we talked about, not only is it impossible to get the bike up, now you got a mucky left hand that you can't hold on with. So,
well, I want to ask something about that too. Like for Jet, is a race like this, is this what's needed to kind of break that confidence winning streak out of Jet? Or is this going to kind of turn things around and do the opposite and really light a fire under him, you know, to turn things around, you know?
I think if anything, and I can't get inside that kid's head, he's like, he's not really normal the way he thinks. He's so mature for a 20-year-old kid, the way he races and carries himself. But I would think, you know, he had a perfect season, comes out and wins the opener. There was already chatter with the SMX Insider guys about him having a perfect season. I'm like, perfect season. Like, pump the brakes a little bit here. We're at round one, you know, like that's a little early. I think it kind of takes that pressure off. Like, you know, he's going to have some bad races and it's going to be a, you know, I don't know. For me, I think it would take some pressure off that, oh, are you going to win every round? You're going to win every, you know what I mean? Like, just get that out of the way. It was a sloppy, muddy mess. There's no shame in it. You fell, you got a ninth. Like, it's not the end of the world. And his brother, Hunter Lawrence, gets 10th behind him. So they rode it in together, a little family affair for the top 10. What's really interesting to me here is, again, the guys we lost. Because now you got Malcolm Stewart, who's a guy coming into the season. There was so much talk about how fast he was going. All the guys down there in Florida saying he was just on it. And last year at the start of the season, we saw the same thing. Incredible speed, and then got hurt, had to fix the knee. And I hoped he'd have a good season. And it's like, he's off to a really rough start. And now he's outside the top 10 by a long ways. Cooper Webb had another terrible night. He's 18 points down already. And Webb's a guy I got in this mix for the title. And he's 18 points down against Jet, Eli, Chase. You can't give him 18 points.
Yeah, you can't.
So I almost don't know if that's... maybe, you know, I don't want to say never, but that's a lot of points, I guess, is my... He's dug himself a big hole already. Looking at the points, Chase is leading. Jet is 7 back. You know, so this puts Chase, you know, he's got a nice little cushion already. 7 points to Jet, 10 to Tomac and Aaron Plessinger, who are tied for 3rd, 4th, and then Dylan Ferrandis in 12th. And Jorge Prado in 9th, like I said, and Webb's 8th with 18 points back.
Yeah.
So, again, not out of the question for Webb, but a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's... I mean, we've kind of seen Webb do it before, you know? So, this really just... Man, these dang mud races, you know?
It is what it is, man. It's a bummer, but they happen, and you got to be able to survive them. And really, I will tell... Let me just bring up one thing. People out there watching this, help me understand Ricky's analogy of the wheelbarrows. Wheelbarrow. He was calling it a wheelbarrow, which I don't know what that is. He said it's like if you had a 50-pound wheelbarrow and a 100-pound wheelbarrow, you'd want to take the 50-pound, but you're going to take the 100-pound. That's what these guys are doing out there. I'm like, I've been like thinking about it all day. Am I missing something? What does that mean? Do you know? Am I missing it?
Maybe the heavier your bike is, the more momentum it's going to push. I don't know.
I don't know. Man, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. I really sat up and went, huh. I got 2 wheelbarrows. Of course I want the lighter one. What does that have to do with a muddy motorcycle? I mean, I know the bikes are heavier.
Yeah.
Is he saying a 50-pound wheelbarrow is your normal bike? And now you got to push
maybe
around 100?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is.
It's a difficult analogy.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Anyway, having said that, I want to hit the Max's tires moment of the night. And for me, this was Chase's whole shot. I mean, game changer. Listen, I really believe if Tomac had whole shotted that main, he wins.
Yeah.
Plessinger whole shots it, he wins. Roczen whole shots it, he wins. Ferrandis whole shots it, he wins. I think the start was like 95% of the race. Those guys are all good enough to just manage it and stay on 2 wheels and make the guy behind you try to catch you and pass you. We didn't see a lot of that.
No.
Right? Both winners whole shotted their main events. And when it was time to deliver, even if it was by a fluke, damn, Chase Sexton just greased it.
Yeah.
That was a whole shot of the season right
there.
Yeah. So really good time to pull it off. Anything else you want to add? You got anything else in your notes?
You know, that's, man, just these mud races just always as you know, they're just always so hard to prep for. And I want to do mention something about the mud races. Not only is it hard for these riders, but the whole team.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that's involved. Your gear guy, goggle guy, helmet guys, just everything, the cleanup. They're just such a mess, you know? And it's...
Well, here was the other thing that was funny. Ironically funny. The city of San Francisco, in their infinite wisdom, said, guys, we can't have you riding from the track to the pit. We don't want mud on our streets. But okay to have heroin needles and doo-doo. We don't care about that, but no dirt, please. Wash them here. They made the guys wash them at the stadium before they brought them back to their trucks.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're through it. Luckily, no big injuries that I know of, right?
No.
That's good. That was a positive.
Yep.
And you got to see the best riders in the world in Supercross look, you know, probably like most of us look riding around the track, you know, a little out of control, not that fast. So, hey, thanks for joining me for this. We appreciate it. I want to thank our sponsors again, Rock and Turf. Check those guys out. If you need any artificial grass or you want those cool mats they're making, really, really cool for, like I said, your RV, your truck, trailer, outside your house. I use them to change gear on. Go to rockandturflandscape.com and maxis.com if you're looking for their light truck tires. They make a full line of all kinds of cool stuff. So check those guys out. We appreciate their support. And stick around Thursday. Come back. We have Sight Lap coming up, looking ahead to San Diego, and we'll talk about all the championship implications, what we got coming up, and things to look forward to this weekend in Snapdragon Stadium. Thanks for tuning in. For Bruce Marotta, I'm David Pingree. We'll see you guys.